Well, my work is just finished. Don Solomons is our speaker this morning. I think he's quite well known here, and I'm just going to ask him to come and bring us the message.
Commend you for being here. I noticed there were a lot of soccer parents who were on the field this morning as I was going by, and what a beautiful day outside, but it's even a more beautiful day to be able to draw near to the Lord, and our desire is that we'll be able, all of us, be able to draw near to Him in our hearts through faith and enjoy Him in our time together. I was thinking as Kyle was leading us, and I thought, there's something missing, and that is Bethany, his sister, who, as they have moved, and I was just going to mention this, I was talking to Dylan on the phone, I guess it was the first of the week, and he said Bethany was really helping her, Mark, her dad, in the music ministry on the East Coast in Cape Breton, so we're thankful for her ministry there, and it's neat to have the saints who have been apart, and then as God uses and expands and moves them into ministries, we rejoice. We rejoice in them. We hate to lose them, but we're thankful that God is using them there. So, I had all these things on my list, so I'm going to double check my list because I know I'm going to forget something. As I already said, we want to make sure if you have not signed up and you would like to be a part of the dinner. I believe there will be enough food, so we would encourage you just to be a part of that. We want you to feel this is family, and we want you to sense you're a part of this family. And we already mentioned, just to restate it, after our meal, we'll again immediately have a service here, and then we'll not have an evening service. And so some of you can go on your bike ride, right? And anyway, hopefully this will be a great day for each one of us. Well, let's ask God to help us and accomplish what He wants. Father, we are very, very thankful that we can be a part of this family that You have made. It's ultimately Your family, the body of Christ. We thank You that is our place. For each person who's put their faith in Christ, they belong. And Father, we because we come together, we just pray that You will work in our midst, individually and corporately. And we know there are some people who are ill today, who are a part of this family but can't be here, and we just want to pray especially for Your grace upon them, Your help for them. And for some, I think of Phil and others who are having procedures this next week, I pray for blessing upon them, help upon them. And Father, for all of us spiritually, that we might be a people who are growing and abounding. We know this is a broken world, so growing is not always natural or easy, but we pray that we will. And we pray that our time together today will be one more part of that process, one more step, and just moving in Your direction to do Your will and become what You want us to be. And we know that only You can do that. We know that You're the source, the ultimate source that makes anything good, it must come from You. And so we just entrust our time to You to ask for Your help. In Christ's name, amen. I was reading an article this week, or actually in a section in a book, and they're talking about in our industrial, you know, time, and then our technology has just really pushed it over. We're becoming increasingly isolated as individuals. It's amazing you can walk through. Let's say you're downtown or you're in the mall. You know, you're walking by people. You got all these people. And I think of this especially like if you go to Toronto, if you get lost in Toronto and you never got your way out, You're walking down the sidewalk, right? You got all these people walking past you. Now, you don't have a clue who they are, what their name is, what their situation. You don't have a clue. And you can go to your apartment or your house, and you went past maybe hundreds of people on that day, and you feel very much alone. And that is part of what is going on in our day. There are many, many people who have all kinds of contact. You know, you have your friends list, right? But a lot of times, nobody knows who you are or how you're hurting and what's going on. You know, that is not the way God designed the body of Christ to be. We're not just a bunch of individuals. We are in the body of Christ. And that means we're to function like that. We're not just isolated individuals. We belong together. And the Lord, the way He created us, the way we're made in the image of God, we're created for fellowship, and we need fellowship. We need one another. And that is where this concept of love comes in. You know, we need to love one another, and we need to be loved by others. And when I think of this, and of course today we have this appreciation dinner, and it is a genuine statement on the part of the elders that we really are thankful and we want to show appreciation for the family, for you. And one of the things we are very, very thankful for is the degree of love that God has worked in us and expresses through us. That is so important. Now, we know we haven't arrived. We understand that. But this is one of the big deals. You know, if you were going into the scripture, you're going to say, what is one of the big deals God has in His book? Well, this is one of them, is love one another. And I'm going to go to various passages, and then I'll settle in on one. But I want to just read this passage to you in John 13:34. And this says this to us. And when I read it, and it just comes to mind immediately. A new commandment, Lord Jesus talking, I give to you, that you love one another, even, this is what blows me away, even as I loved you. Whoa. He went to the cross, right? Even as I loved you. Love calls for sacrifice, by the way. Not necessarily going to the cross for us, but it calls us to sacrifice for the best of the person I love. He says, even as I loved you, that you also love one another. You know what? I'm thankful that there's a measure of that in our family. You know, there's so many things. Just like we're isolated in our culture, there's so many, even Christian groups, who are divided among themselves. You know, it's one of the things we have to ask God to protect us from, division. But thank the Lord for the people who love one another, able to overlook the idiosyncrasies, and we all have them, right? I mean, I know you're the only person that doesn't, but the rest of us do, right? We all have idiosyncrasies. And so if we hang together, if we stay together as family, it's because we love one another and we overlook some of the things we don't necessarily see eye to eye on every detail. Now, this is another passage. Love is not only to be toward one another, it is to be fervent. This is 1 Peter 4:8. Above all, now notice that, above all. This is not one of those little dinky things that we should miss in the Bible. Above all, 1 Peter 4:8, keep fervent in your love for one another. Keep fervent. That means be intense about this thing. Be intentional. We have to move out of our little self-protective circle and be fervent to love one another, to be vibrant in our love for one another. Now, we can all look around, just look at the person right next to you and say, well, they're not very, you know, they didn't say hi to me today. Okay. But what is my love toward them? What am I willing to do to sacrifice for them? What is good for them that God calls me to do toward them? I am to be intentional. This is part of my big deal for being on the planet as a Christian. It's part of God's big deal. He wants us to care for one another. Now, we do thank the Lord for the measure of love. But you know what? There is no place in Scripture to get self-satisfied and say, well, I've arrived. Because, and I read another passage, and this one is in Philippians 1, verse 9. This is a prayer. We're going to be in a prayer this morning, but this is another prayer. And Paul says this, and this I pray that your love may abound still more and more. Do you get that? That your love should abound still more and more. That means no matter where we're at today, that means no matter where, what I've done this last week, God wants my love to increase more and more. Now, you know, we take the mirror and we look and we say, how am I doing? There's no place to say, you know, I've arrived. And then the challenge in 1 Thessalonians 3:11 says this, may the Lord cause you to, again it's a prayer, may the Lord cause you to increase and abound in love for one another and for all people. Whoa. You know what? You can't get away from this. You cannot get away from this. You know, all the things we like to talk about or discuss or think about in the Bible, and there's a lot of heavy-duty stuff in the Bible. I mean, a lot of it's just way over the top, and we'll have, you know, classes in heaven to figure out what did that mean, right? But this is one of the things that's pretty straightforward. Love one another, and may it abound more and more. God calls, but you know these, did you notice these are prayers for love? That's another thing I'm very thankful for, is that the prayers of the saints in this assembly. And Hazel had, she said she's going to be gone, so prayer request, prayer warriors, she put in a little email. So, thank the Lord for the people that pray. I wonder how, when we get to heaven, we'll figure out, you know what? I got over that illness a lot faster because the saints at Edmondson were praying for me. You know? I bet there'll be some of those surprises. You think, oh man, I forgot I even prayed about that. But this is another area. God wants us not only to love one another, He encourages us to pray for one another that our love will abound. And that takes us to our passage this morning. Let's go to Ephesians. And this is a wonderful prayer. Paul has so many different prayers for love. But here's one that is absolutely over the top. And it's how valuable it is for us. Ephesians 3. So if you want to know something to pray about, let's read these words. Verse 14. Paul writes, For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Now, that can take a lifetime of meditation. This is over the top. But it's so important, so wonderful. Now, for what reason? Well, Paul in Ephesians, Ephesians is an absolutely wonderful, magnificent, awesome book. The first part of it, we could say, is positional. The second part is conditional. And if we're going to divide Ephesians in two parts. Positional, what we mean by position is what God has done for us in Christ. This is, we don't know, we can't feel it, can't touch it, can't even see it, but it's true. And God tells us, this is what I've done for you in Christ. We have all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, right? And that's Ephesians chapter 1. Walk in the door, all spiritual blessings. All, I mean, can you imagine all? We have stuff we don't even know we got. It's ours. Now, and then he talks, all these spiritual blessings, he talks about them because we're in Christ, we're in the body of Christ. Now, just think of people that are in the body of Christ that are a lot different than you are. On Wednesday night, Roy Tibbett was here and he was sharing a DVD on people in Africa. And they were just praising the Lord, and you know they were so excited about their salvation, but they were a lot different than we are. They, you know, if we were doing kind of worship they were doing, we'd probably think, I think I got the wrong church today, right? You know, a lot different. But you know what? All around the world, there are these people that are so much different than we are, but they know the Lord Jesus as their Savior. And we're in the same group. We're in the same body. We're going to be in heaven together with them. But you know what? It's one thing to say, hey, we're all going to heaven. We're going to have a big party there. It's all going to be great, awesome, over the top. But you know what the real rub is? Is trying to get along with some of those people in the here and now. Right now, before we get to heaven, you know? Right now. Oh, no. Not now. Not now. You really? Are you really in this group? Maybe I need to find another group for me, right? You know, we all have this struggle with individuals. And what was really going on in part of the struggle that was very relevant for the Ephesians is there were people who were Jewish people who had become believers and were saved. And there were Gentile people. There were absolute pagans off the road, pagans got saved. And you got these Jewish people and these pagans, and they come together, and now they're in the same group. How do you get along? I was thinking about, and I'm sure Leon and Kathy saw this when they traveled to Israel. But if you see an Orthodox Jewish person. I mean, they got the hat. And then they got the little curly deals, right? And if you ever see them at the right time, they're doing this, right? You ever see them doing that? I saw them one time on a plane early in the morning. Like, the only people up were the people doing this, and they had the hat on, right? Going like that. Now, and there they were praying, right? But let's say that person gets saved. He's got the funny little hat on, and he's got the little curly willies. And this other pagan dude, you know, he looks pagan, right? He just looks pagan. He smells pagan. And now you're in the same group? How's this going to work? It's not. Unless the love of Christ invades the individuals and they start loving one another. And that's his prayer for this reason. I want you guys to love one another. I want this love to abound. Now let's read on. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father. Now, you know, God listens to prayers when they're on the run, right? Thank the Lord, right? You're driving. You think, God, I need help. I'm really, really late, you know? God answers prayers. But you know what? When we have a big burden, we have a big prayer request, we usually slow down enough. We slow down and say, God, I need real help here. And Paul, you know what? He knows so much that he needs God's help. He hits his knees. He hits to the knees. Now, you don't have to go down on your knees to pray. But sometimes I find it helps me focus. It helps me slow down. It helps me realize, you know, what I'm praying for is a really important thing. And Paul says, you know, what I'm praying for is a really important thing. I bow my knees before the Father, the Sovereign of the universe. The Father, isn't it wonderful? He's not just the Sovereign. He's our Father. You can come to the Sovereign, the one who controls the universe, and he is our Father if you're a believer. We come, we snuggle up. You know, when I was a little kid, and, you know, I'd have these terrible earaches, and I'd come up, and I'd just snuggle with Dad, and he'd hold me tight, you know, because I was hurting so much. But it was a wonderful thing to have a Father who loved me and cared about me and would just hold me when I was in pain. And God says, you know what, I'm your Father. And Paul says, I'm coming to you. I want to talk to you. In fact, I want to slow down so much. I just want to focus on this really important thing. I bring my request to my Father. And notice he's adequate. He's totally sufficient. It says in verse 15, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. He's the source of everything in heaven and on earth and is the ultimate resource for all that we need. You know, there's no other place really to run to get our deepest needs met than him. You know, the world provides all kinds of stuff. You know, the cafeteria of stuff. Only God can meet the deepest needs. And we run to the Father and we talk to him. And this we need to do. And notice he begins in verse 16. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. Whoa. Notice, listen, this is so hard, it's so overwhelming, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. The riches, the treasure chest of his spiritual wealth. Now, I was thinking of, I've got a little treasure chest. I've got one here. I'll share with you. Yeah. This is my treasure chest. You know? And I was like, I've got this. I don't even remember. Actually, I think I got it in the dollar store, right? Okay. It's a treasure chest. And then open it up. Oh, man. Oh, man. Isn't that great? Just over the top awesome. Zippo nothing in there, right? You know, sometimes in trying to live the Christian life, that's about how much we have in our own strength. But he has a treasure chest that, whoa, over the top. All that we need, he can provide. That he would grant you out of according to the riches of his glory. When someone asked a tremendous request from Napoleon, Napoleon gave it to him immediately. And you know why? He said to one standing by, he honored me by the magnitude of his request. This is a big request. This is not normal. Is it, you know, it's not that we're just a bunch of nice people. We need supernatural intervention to make this thing happen. And so we come to our Father, who's the only one ultimately that can give us what we need. And notice, as he does this, verse 16, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man. To be strengthened with spiritual strength that overcomes resistance. And there's a lot of resistance to love. Now just think. When we're born, you know, and if you had a mom that loved you, you know, and a family that, you know, kind of circled around you, and you know, and they say, oh, it's so cute. I don't know if they ever said that to me, but oh, it's so cute. You know, you're looking at, I love watching these little babies, you know, they're carrying around, moms are chasing after them and all that. But anyway, he says, they're so cute, right? You know what? When we learn early on, we learn that we're the center of the universe, right? Who wants to be the center? Ah, I pick me. You know, I'm the center. Now, there's nothing wrong. Love your kids, right? Love your kids. But you know, there's going to come a day, if they're healthy, they're going to realize, you know what? I'm not the center of the universe. But because we still want to be the center of the universe, a lot of times selfishness replaces sacrificial love. And so, you know, we have this flesh thing within us, this capacity for sin. We talked about it in Romans 7. And this thing within me, within you, is the very thing that can keep us from sacrificing and caring about other people. Even the people that we're close to. Because we're the center of the universe in our thoughts. And God says, no, I'm going to change that. We need to be strengthened with power through his Spirit. You know, there's a lot. You know, look around. Look at your neighbor. Look at somebody you have to work with. They give you some real good excuses not to be a loving person, right? They talk about you behind your back. They might rip you off if they had a chance. They're just tough. They give you all kinds of excuses. I know why I shouldn't love people, because of that person, right? And God says, you know what? This is why it needs to be supernatural. This is not normal. It is not natural to love one another in a broken, sinful world. We need supernatural power, strengthened with power through his Spirit, the Spirit of God in us, in the inner man. We need divine enabling power to empower us to do this, to sacrifice for one another. And it's only available by the Spirit. One has said this, with this power, the Spirit's power, the Christian has divine enablement to do the impossible, to accomplish the supernatural. Because the supernatural person of the Holy Spirit lives within us. That's what we have. We need. We cannot pull this off on our own. The Spirit of God. When you trusted Christ, the Spirit of God invaded your life, and now we need to draw on his strength. But you know, we can pretend this. I remember years ago when Marty and I were in California, and there were some dear, dear people there that loved us and cared about us. And this one little lady, she was probably in her 70s at that point, I imagine. And she would say to Marty, come over and let's play dolls, you know? And so they, I don't think they ever did get, I don't even think Marty had a doll at that point, right? But anyway, come over and play dolls. But you know what it reminded me of? Now, this lady was she was a loving person. But you know, we as Christians, we can come over and play Christian. We can come to church and play Christian. You know, you put on your Christian face. I put on my Christian tie. Did you see that? Christian tie, right? Yeah. So you put on your Christian whatever, but you know, we can be just playing and not living, not really living it out. God wants us, by the power of the Spirit, to live out love. One states, the strengthening of the Spirit is paramount to every believer. Not one of us can live a truly Christian life upon our own resources. You know what? I think it takes, it seems to be just the normal path. A lot of times when we first get saved, we think, man, I can conquer, I'll never have that problem again, right? We're going to conquer the world. We've overcome everything. And man, you're going down the road, doesn't take very long, maybe a week, maybe a month, and bam, you're down, you hit the floor, you tripped on yourself. And you realize, you know what? I really blew that. I shouldn't have said that. How could I say that to my kid, right? What? How could I say it to my wife? And she's reminding me of that. But anyway, say, what in the world? It's the old flesh within. I need to be strengthened by God's power to say no to sin and yes to God, and we've talked a lot about that. But notice what the Spirit wants to do, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, verse 17. As we walk dependent upon the Spirit, Christ will increasingly dwell within us. Now, it's not the initial dwelling. When you first trusted Christ, the Spirit of God came into you. The Lord Jesus, he came into you. That's the initial indwelling. But this is the ongoing indwelling we're talking about. The ongoing impact the Spirit of God is making in my life. That as he works in me, the characteristics of Christ are beginning to show up through me. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. You know, it's interesting. Let's say you have somebody come into your house, right? I think of our grandkids, right? Love our grandkids. But you know, when they come over, there's kind of a transformation of the house. You know, now especially the littler ones, the older ones get more engrossed in other stuff. But you know, you kind of can follow the trail through, like this, a grandchild was here. You know, and you see all the different activities. In fact, this week, we have white chairs in our kitchen. And I noticed yesterday, we now have white chairs with spotted yellow spots, right? The spotted granddaughter chair. So you think, they've impacted our life. Now, I love my granddaughter. I kind of like yellow spots. But anyway, we'll live with it, right? But they impact your life. When the Lord Jesus comes, he doesn't want to put yellow spots in your life. He wants to change our life to make us more loving in our life. He wants to move in. But notice, it's as we walk by faith. Now, we start by faith. I hope for each one of you this morning, you came to a point, you realized you needed a Savior, and there was no way out. There was no way to have forgiveness of sins. There was no way to get eternal life apart from trusting in Christ and Christ alone to save you. That's the only answer for salvation. Trust in him. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life. I hope you've come to that point. That's the initial step of faith. That's the baby step of faith. But now we're called to walk by faith. Walk by faith. And how do we walk by faith? As we see the truth in God's word, then we say, hey, that's true. I believe that. And I step out on that. Now, what truth are we looking at here? God is love. Christ is in me. Christ is sufficient for me. I can actually love when I don't feel like it, because he's in me. I can actually love when it's not convenient. You know what? Actually, when you think of love, it requires sacrifice. You know, a lot of times we think, well, I love this person as long as I don't have to pay any bills or sacrifice any to my time. That's not love. That's convenience. When we have a situation and it calls for a cost to be paid on our part for another person, that's an opportunity for love. But I'm not up to that. That's not normal in my flesh. God calls me through the sufficiency of Christ, through faith in Him, confident that He has a love that I'm short of. I draw on His love and I move out confident that He can love through me. Now you just think, what are the situations that you need to love people? You know, a lot of times what we do, let's say you get wounded by somebody. Somebody does something, they hurt you, they say something. They didn't come through for you. And so you, a lot of times what we do, we just focus in. You know, we look at ourselves, I'm so tough. But we need to look to Christ. Christ has gone through so much more than we ever dream of going through. Think of the injustice of His payment for our sin, His love that drove Him to the cross. None of us will ever pay the degree of love, sacrificial love that Christ did, but we can look to Him, count on Him to love through us in ways that are beyond us. We walk by faith. And notice, I think of this passage, it's one of my favorite passages, John 15. Verse 5, I am the vine. You are the branches. We're not the vine. He's the vine. He's the source. He who abides in me, he who stays tight with me, and I in him, he bears much fruit. Much fruit. That's the kind of fruit that's not natural to us. That's beyond what's normal. He bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. Zippo. Now, we can do a lot of stuff, and we all do lots of stuff. But we can do nothing that honors God, that really accomplishes His will, that has eternal value, apart from Christ. So we draw near to Him. He's our strength. He's our sufficiency. And we're rooted and grounded in love. When we're first saved, we have access. I think of this passage in 1 John 3:1. See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. God has dumped His love upon us. And we have all this resource to be more than we could ever be in and of ourselves. He's the resource. He's the sufficiency. And notice what it goes on to say in our passage. The prayer continues. Verse 18. May be able to comprehend, to grasp it mentally. Again, we walk by faith, we got to grasp the truth in the Scriptures. We get it, and notice, verse 18 goes on, may have power, and I'm reading in the NIV here, may have power together with all the saints, notice power with all the saints, all of us, to grasp how wide, how long, how high, how deep is the love of Christ. The immensity of God's love. You see, when you say, man, I can't love that person. They're just an absolute jerk. I cannot love that person. We need to look beyond ourselves to the immensity of God's love. As one challenges us, we must never fall into the error of imagining that because we are Christians, we therefore know all about the love of God. Most of us are but as children paddling at the edge of an ocean. There are depths in this love of God which we know nothing. I was thinking, I've shared this with you before, but I still remember and one of my favorite places on the planet is in Nova Scotia and go to Lawrencetown Beach. And you can drive out there and then walk over the embankment and you just see the ocean, the beach is rugged because it gets so much wave. There's so much wave coming in and beating up the coastline. But it's so beautiful on a beautiful day to see the ocean. And as far as you can look on Lawrencetown Beach, if you're looking forward, as far as you look, all you see is water. And then one day it dawned on me. I'm just seeing the top of the water. There's all the ocean beneath the surface that I can't grasp. I can't understand. There's just a huge amount. But you know what? God's love is far bigger than the Atlantic Ocean. The love of God, the hymn that We know the love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. In verse 3, could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole who stretched from sky to sky. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. I read of a man who was an early day explorer before sonar. And he explored the depths of different parts of the ocean. And it said that he came to an area, and he would, when it was, he was going along, obviously it didn't have sonar, so he would take a string and had a weight on it and drop it in off his ship, and it would go down, and as far as it would go down, then he would measure how deep the ocean was at that point. And so he was in this new area. He'd never been there before. And he dropped over his line. And he extended the whole line out. And it didn't hit the bottom. And so he wrote in his journal, deeper than that. Well, then the next day he thought, you know, I'm going to add more string to this. And find out how deep this ocean is. And so he tied more string together. Dropped over the edge. Drop, down. He still didn't hit the bottom. He wrote in his ledger, deeper than that. Well, the third day he was determined. I got to figure out how deep this ocean is. And so he took every piece of string and rope he could find on deck and on the ship, and he tied it all together in a long, 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 long line, and he threw it over. He still didn't hit the bottom. The line of his ledger was deeper than that. And you know what? God's love is deeper than we can grasp. The love of God. Because the love of God and the Spirit of God indwells us, we can grow in our love. There's depths we have not attained yet. And God longs for us to abound more and more. To know the love of Christ, as verse 19 says, to know it experientially. The love of Christ is to become an experiential reality in our lives. This love that surpasses knowledge, it cannot be grasped. It's deeper than that. But we can increasingly understand it. We can grow in our expression of it. But we'll never go beyond God's love. We will never grasp the immensity of it. But that shows why we should be increasing in the growth of it. There's always room to grow. You know, I came across this story. A man was writing of a man who had been a pastor of the church that he attended. His name was Neil Ashcroft. He was the pastor of that church. And I remember, I didn't know him, but I was actually in Dallas when he was pastoring there. And I believe he was at Reinhardt Bible Chapel at that point. But there was another season of his life when he lived in Oakland, California, Neil Ashcroft. And he had never been, and I've never been, to Budget Sound, which is in Washington, apparently. And so apparently it's an inland body of water. Probably it must feed off of the Pacific Ocean. And he had always heard it was absolutely beautiful, this bay. So a friend invited him up. He went up to Washington, and he went up to see what he thought would be the most beautiful place on the planet. And so he got there, and he was excited, and his friend knew he wanted to see, go down to the ocean edge where this inlet of water was. And so they went down, and Neil Ashcroft looked at that and thought, this is ugly. There was, he could see branches and there was even some trash. He thought, yuck. People say this is beautiful. His friend noticed all the disappointment on his face and he said, Neil, you don't understand. The tide is out. We'll come back when the tide is in. They went back down. When the tide had come in, and Neil looked across all the junk, all the dirty places that he had seen before were all covered, and it was the most beautiful place he had seen. The difference was the tide was in. You see, there's a lot of brokenness in our hearts, isn't there? There's a lot of stuff that shouldn't be there. But as we grow in the Lord and we allow the tide of the Lord's love to come into our lives, as we abound in love more and more, that love can then not only be a part of our character, but flow into our relationships. We thank the Lord for the measure of love we have, but God says, may we abound more and more in that love. May we look to the Lord Jesus. May we pursue His love. May we pray for His love. May we be filled with His love. Let's pray. Lord, we're here. And when we're honest, we take a look. We realize, you know what? Some days we are just not very loving. That's just the way it is. When we're honest, it doesn't look that good. It's kind of like looking at that cove where you just see a bunch of junk. But Father, we thank you that by your grace and through your Spirit, we don't have to stay that way. Father, I thank you. I thank you again for the measure of love that we experience. Thank you for the measure of unity we enjoy. Thank you for all the ways we are served by others in this family. We thank you. But Father, we know from your word, you want it to grow more and more. And that is our prayer, that it will. And Father, we just also, we thank you that we have a meal. I thank you for all those who have worked to prepare it, even now, have been working to just make it a blessing for us. And we thank you for that food. We thank you for your provision. And Father, I pray that our time together would not only just be about food, but it would be about loving one another as we spend time together. In Jesus' name, amen. So, you get a go, and you're more